You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire. 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa, kujusta mōn takingua, nō mai haere mai ki te Wire mō tēnei rā, te rā urua te kuma wōru a kohi tātea. Kia ora and welcome to the Tuesday Wire for Rātū the Tuesday. Rātū the 28th of January. My name is Justin and I will be you with for the next hour. I hope you all had a lovely Auckland anniversary weekend because I am sure that my producer Louis Law has doing.
Yes, good. Kia ora. How are we, Justin?
I am very well. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw you yesterday at Laneway.
Yes, I was there and I did see you as well. We were both volunteering with the station and it was a fantastic day.
It is indeed fantastic.
It was a smashing day.
Which acts did you go?
Ooh, I quite liked Earl. Earl was pretty good.
Richard? Too bad I didn't go there because I was on code duty.
Code check. Yep.
Yeah, code check shift. Who else did you see?
Ooh, 1975 were good. They were pretty good. I was at code check during that time, so hearing them live from the broadcasting in the... my God, Rick, it's fantastic with that setup. That's quite amazing how you managed to broadcast
live. I can't believe it's Rick that he can, you know, manage to pull this off.
He truly is behind BFM, yes. Yeah. Big shout out to Rick there.
Big shout out to Rick. And let's get back on to business.
That's right.
Because coming up on the show today, what have you got, Louis?
Well, I spoke with Terry Black about Monkey Off Your Back, tradesmen hitting the road to raise funds for mental health.
And on International Desk, the UK will be leaving the European Union this Friday, the 31st of January, and International Desk is looking back at what has happened since the referendum on the 23rd of June 2016.
We also have a report on the Fuller's Ferry debacle deciding not to operate in unsafe conditions around cruise ships.
Classic summer problem.
Classic.
Yeah, and finally, International Desk also gives an update on the coronavirus situation overseas, especially what has happened in China. As always, here are half of Ocado. Get in touch with us. Any thoughts you have, you can tuku patuhi mai. You can do so by texting us on 5395 or call us 309-3879. Me koa e wairi ware, e ahi ana koutou te whakarongo ki e ne kōrero ano hei pakihere rokiroki maurunga I te paitukutuku o iri rangipoho. Me haere ki 95BFM airakati.com. And don't forget, you can catch all these stories in full, or maybe, you don't know, even more, by podcast on our website, 95bfm.com/bcast. I tēne wā tonu, we are going to... hear a little bit about mental health first.
The Wire. I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
Now, it's no secret that we have a problem here in Aotearoa when it comes to mental health, and it seems that men's mental health and male suicide rates are a growing prevalent issue. Research shows that the suicide rate in the construction industry is almost double any other industry. In addition, male suicides is increasing within our Māori and Pacifica communities, and rural farmers have alarmingly high suicide rates. Well, a few years back, a group of Australian tradesmen got on their bikes to address the disproportionate number of men taking their own lives. They call themselves Monkey Off Your Back, and since then, they have been lifting the profile for charities as well as fighting the stigma surrounding mental health. I spoke with Terry Black, an electrician based in Auckland, who talked about the initiative as well as the ride they have on the 1st of February. We started by talking about the history of the Monkey on Your Back.
Well, about 6 years ago, a guy by the name of Mark Hales decided that he would do a ride, which was over in Australia. We've done three over in Australia. The first one was from Melbourne up to the Gold Coast. We were originally riding on 110cc postie bikes going up the coast, and since then we've done another couple of rides up to the Cairns and back down through the middle of Australia, and then another one around South Australia, Victoria and New South Wales, Canberra. So we've done a couple of rides, and this is the first time that we've brought it over to New Zealand to do 5,000 k's down to Invercargill and back up again.
As you said, it's the first time that this is happening in New Zealand. So could you tell me a little bit about what's going down on the 1st of February?
Okay, on the 1st of February, we're leaving Auckland. We're going to be leaving at 8 o'clock from Auckland, Harley-Davidson, down at Mount Wellington Highway there. We'll be travelling for 12 days, down to Invercargill and back up with numerous stops. We've got probably over a dozen stops raising funds and awareness for Lifeline and mental health.
So you chose these charities, both Lifeline and also I believe it's Beyond Blue. These are both mental health organisations in New Zealand and Australia, our brothers over across the ditch. What made you choose these two charities?
Everyone has their own stories as to why they, you know, want to support and be involved in Monkey Off Your Back. But for me, you know, losing a good schoolmate and a family member, my lost cousin and also one of my dad's best buddies, who was a mentor of mine, we lost him as well. And then the catalyst was another mate of mine who tried to attempt to end his own life. So that was pretty much my story. So I decided straight away that I would get involved. It's pretty bad here in New Zealand at the moment. Last year alone, we lost double the road toll to suicide. So
yeah.
It's something that's quite close to my heart.
I mean, it's no secret, and especially here in Aotearoa, of course. And, you know, I'm surprised to see the statistics for tradies, you know, and guys that are in the construction industry. They have such a high rate of male suicide. So why do you think that it's such a problem for men that work in the trades?
Well, we're working with our hands on a daily basis, and that's the way that we earn our income. And when we get organisations that aren't run efficiently and it goes to the wall, that puts undue stress on everyday life. You know, the money scenario ends up coming back into the family household, which those stresses cause a few issues with wives and partners and so forth. And then they end up losing possibly their partner, possibly their access to the children, and essentially the catalyst for that would probably be their own lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad statistic, but it is the reality that we face. Now, Monkey Off Your Back, this is an initiative, or a campaign, sorry, that's been going for, I believe it's 6 years. So what have been the results so far to date? What progress has been made through Monkey Off Your Back?
Okay, in the 6 years that we've been going, we've raised over $500,000, $500,000 for mental health, both in New Zealand and Australia, being Lifeline and Beyond Blue in Australia. The other side of that, obviously, is the awareness. It goes hand in hand. You know, the more people that we get out there and talk to about the anxieties and you know, the dark issues that they're dealing with, the better it is.
Yeah, and I guess where do you see it kind of going? Where do you think the future could be with Monkey Off Your Back and for men's mental health?
Well, it's just a brand that we've started as a group of tradies, and we're just doing what we can. You know, we haven't got plans further down the track. It's just at this stage we're doing rides, motorcycle rides. I do know that we're looking at using Monkey Off Your Back in March for Around the Bays.
Yeah.
So it's just event by event. We just look at the event and see how much support we've got with it, and go from there. Because it's been going for 6 years now, we've got a core group. On this particular ride, we've got 32, 18 from New Zealand, 18 from Australia, that are raising the funds and the awareness for mental health. So it's a logistical mission to do a bike ride around New Zealand.
Yeah, but, yeah.
A run down the waterfront is probably going to be a lot easier than 12 days on bikes, catering for food, 3 food stops a day, petrol.
Yeah. Far out, man. It's a big journey that you've got ahead of you. And I believe, is it also Kiwis and Aussies together in this ride?
Yep, sure is. The Aussies are coming over and supporting us, obviously with our first ride over here. So we've got 18 there. There's, I think, about 6 husband and wife crews coming over. So now we've got plenty of support from our Aussie counterparts over there in Australia. So it's fantastic.
Oh, good on you, Terry. It should be an excellent ride, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys take off on the 1st of February. I guess going back now to the issue at hand with mental health, what are some of the ways that we can support men in our lives, no matter what, and fight the stigma surrounding mental health?
It's communication. Kiwis are particularly bad at actually talking.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is okay, you know, not to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is okay to actually ask, you know, are you okay?
Yeah.
The first thing in all situations is obviously listen to what they're saying. And then you just get to ask them, you know, more about the situation. And obviously hugs are free. And for me, they're just a silent way to say, you know, that you matter. and I do actually care about you. So I don't know, that's the way we're approaching it, you know, just being able to get out there in the community and have a chat and talk and empathise. It's just bloody humbling to be true, to be honest about it. You know, like, and then all the rides I've done, you know, we've been talking to, you know, wives and mothers and sisters and veterans and all these people who have their own stories, and it's incredibly humbling that they come up to us and thank us for getting out there in the community and just raising that awareness.
Now, if there's someone listening who is struggling, what would your advice be for them?
Again, we're supporting Lifeline and Beyond Blue. There's 0800 Lifeline and there's a suicide crisis helpline on 0508 Tautoko. So TAUTOKO. And so you give Lifeline a call. They are fielding, you know, an incredible amount of calls. There's 10,000 texts a month and 100,000 calls a year that Lifeline are dealing with, and they're training volunteers on an ongoing basis. So yeah, Lifeline's definitely the way to go. There is on our website access to help as well on www.monkeyoffyourback.org. There's access and phone numbers in there and links to Lifeline and Beyond Blue. And there's also links on our Facebook page as well, Monkey Off Your Back. So there's, you know, it's up to people to pick up the phone and have a chat if they're not feeling, you know, 100%.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
That was Terry Bluck talking with me about Monkey Off Your Back and their ride from Invercargill to Auckland on the 1st of February. Justin, what do you think about their cause and their campaign for men's mental health?
I think it's a fantastic initiative, in fact, because I'm not sure about other cultures myself, but for Asian culture, as listeners might know, I am from Hong Kong and I never stop to emphasize that. There has been like this kind of stereotypical thing that men should be quiet, have their emotions suppressed. So this kind of cultural gentrification makes especially Asian men difficult to open up when they have problems. I don't know about the the typical European man deals with mental health, though. Do you know about that?
He made a real fair point that it is, at the end of the day, although just about communication. I mean, one of the things that I found most alarming was just how bad it is for the construction industry and tradesmen and tradespeople alike that, you know, like you said, they're used to kind of getting things done with their hands and stuff. So when you have a problem like this existing on your mental, I could understand how could it be? It could almost seem impossible.
So it's everything just about change the culture.
I think so. Yeah, I would say so, and I reckon this is the right direction for tradespeople and as well for New Zealand, where we want to be heading. Just spreading more awareness and also fighting the stigma around mental health. Yeah. Interesting enough, there is actually an University of Otago study that is going ahead. It's looking for participants, mainly southern men, but from all demographics, and they're just going to be doing a study on the mysteries behind our health and our health problems that exist in New Zealand. So there could be something coming up on that in the future.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Text us on 5395 or call us 309-3879 if you have any thoughts on that. Ko te waia tēnei marunga BFM. We will be back after this. This is Future Me Hates Me by The Bets, who just came out of Laneway.
Everyone
market for a cleaner, healthier home? Craft Homes is your first choice. They work with you from design to project completion for a home that's minimum impact, maximum efficiency. Building Homestar 6 homes through to Passive House standard, Craft Homes are smarter, more energy efficient, and built from sustainable and environmentally friendly products. Don't just build a home, build a more sustainable future. Craft Homes. Homestar approved practitioners. Go to crafthomes.co.nz.
Do you ever think about space? How it's just, you know, so unknowable and awesome?
I guess so. I guess I get confused about what's still a planet.
I know, right? Oh, and the stars. The insignificance of, like, us.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, speaking of space, I'm the only person on this whole bus. You don't need to sit right here on my lap.
Sorry, I was thinking about the cold, unknowable void.
Spaced out. David Britton from Auckland Stardome Observatory and Planetarium talks everything spacey on Spaced Out. Every other Tuesday on 95 BFM Drive.
Today, we do not know what they want. They do not know themselves what they really want.
I've been wondering what that special place in hell looks like for those who promoted Brexit without even a sketch of a plan how to carry it.
Brexit means Brexit.
To Wire.
On the 31st of January, which is this Friday, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland will officially leave the European Union. This has been a long 3 years since the referendum in 2016 to decide the UK's membership in the EU, following three prime ministers, two resignations, two general elections, and a divided country.
3 years ago, I committed to the British people that I would renegotiate our position in the European Union and hold an in-out referendum. Now I'm delivering on that commitment. You will decide, and whatever your decision, I will do my best to deliver it. On Monday, I will commence the process set out under our Referendum Act, and I will go to Parliament and propose that the British people decide our future in Europe through an in-out referendum on Thursday, the 23rd of June.
That was David Cameron in 2016 announcing a new referendum for the UK on its membership in the European Union. The referendum, which eventually held in June that year, divided the nation across political parties, communities, and even families. But the biggest of those was a split in the Conservative Party between Prime Minister Cameron and then London Mayor Boris Johnson. While Cameron supported to remain in the EU, Johnson campaigned against it.
Also gives us strength in the world. We aren't any old country. We are a special country. One whose language, whose values, whose influence is felt the world over. If I felt that remaining in the European Union diminished us, I would recommend that we voted to leave. But it doesn't. It amplifies our power. When we're in these organizations, we become an even bigger force in the world, with a bigger influence in the world.
I would like to see a new relationship based more on trade, on cooperation, but as I say, with much less of this supranational element. So that's where I'm coming from, and that's why I've decided after a huge amount of heartache, because I did not want to do anything. The last thing I wanted was to go against David Cameron or the government. But after a great deal of heartache, I don't think there's anything else I can do. I will be advocating vote leave, or whatever the team is called. I understand there are many of them. I think that is basic, because I want a better deal for the people of this country, to save them money and to take back control. That's really, I think, what this is all about.
Eventually, Cameron's gamble failed on June 23rd, when the UK voted to leave the EU by 52-48%. While England and Wales voted to leave, Northern Ireland voted to remain by 56-44%, and Scotland also voted overwhelmingly to remain by 62-38%. After his failure to get the UK to remain within the EU, Cameron resigned.
I was absolutely clear about my belief that Britain is stronger, safer, and better off inside the European Union. And I made clear the referendum was about this and this alone, not the future of any single politician, including myself. But the British people have made a very clear decision to take a different path. And as such, I think the country requires fresh leadership to take it in this direction. I will do everything I can as Prime Minister to steady the ship over the coming weeks and months. But I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination. This is not a decision I've taken lightly, but I do believe it's in the national interest to have a period of stability and then the new leadership required.
He was succeeded by the Home Secretary and fellow Remainer, Theresa May.
Following the referendum, we face a time of great national change. And I know, because we're Great Britain, that we will rise to the challenge. As we leave the European Union, we will forge a bold new positive role for ourselves in the world. And together, we will build a better Britain.
May later started to outline plans for the UK to leave the EU, starting by announcing Britain will leave the European Single Market and Customs Union.
We are leaving the European Union, but we are not leaving Europe. And that is why we seek a new and equal partnership between an independent, self-governing global Britain and our friends and allies in the EU. Not partial membership of the European Union, associate membership of the European Union, or anything that leaves us half in, half out. We do not seek to adopt a model already enjoyed by other countries. We do not seek to hold on to bits of membership as we leave. No, the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union, and my job is to get the right deal for Britain as we do.
And in April the following year, May called a general election in hopes to increase her majority in the House of Commons. This gamble went horribly wrong, as the Conservatives lost 13 seats and a majority altogether, and May was forced to form a confidence and supply deal with the Northern Irish Democratic Unionist Party. In July 2018, the UK and the EU agreed the blueprint for their future relationship, which commits both sides to a backstop, which would keep the UK in the customs union indefinitely in the absence of another way of avoiding a hard border in the Isle of Ireland. It also agreed a common rulebook, which maintains some EU standards on areas like chemicals, emissions, pharmaceuticals, and food safety to allow frictionless trade after Brexit. Brexiteers are furious about this direction, claiming it still gives the EU much control over British policy. Johnson resigned in protest as the Foreign Secretary in July 2018, with Brexit Minister David Davis following suit.
We are now proposing to use the same rulebook, or the same laws, really, as the European Union. Not equivalent, not similar, but the same. And that will provide all sorts of problems when it comes to if we want to diverge, do something different. So the return of control to Parliament is more illusory than it is real. Secondly, the customs arrangements mean we'll be collecting taxes, effectively tariffs, for the European Union. They are bound to insist on the European Court having a say in that, and that will be a problem in terms of bringing back control of our laws again and our borders. And thirdly, the tactic, I'm worried that what the European Union will do is simply take what we've offered and ask for more or wait for more. And I think it's got to be a time when we get a bit tougher with them, and this should have been the time.
When May announced her withdrawal agreement in November, which required the UK to pay a financial settlement or the divorce bill of £39 billion over a number of years, and controversially, if no long-term trade deal has been agreed by that avoids a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland will be in a deeper customs relationship with the EU than the rest of the UK. It will also be more closely aligned with the rules and regulations of the EU single market. In response to that, Brexiteer ministers in May's cabinet, such as Brexit Minister Dominic Raab and Works and Pensions Minister Esther McVeigh, resigned afterwards, with Raab saying he, quote, cannot in good conscience support the deal, while McVeigh attacked the deal have failed to honour the result of the referendum. despite fending off a vote of no confidence in her Conservative leadership at the end of 2018. After three failed votes at the House of Commons to get the withdrawal agreement passed, May was forced to ask Brussels twice in 2019 for a Brexit extension from March 29th to April 12th, then to the 31st of October. Then she finally fell onto her own sword and resigned in May, replaced by Boris Johnson.
I have done everything I can to convince MPs to back that deal. Sadly, I have not been able to do so. I tried three times. I believe it was right to persevere, even when the odds against success seemed high. But it is now clear to me that it is in the best interests of the country for a new Prime Minister to lead that effort. So I am today announcing that I will resign as leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party on Friday the 7th of June. It is and will always remain a matter of deep regret to me that I have not been able to deliver Brexit. It will be for my successor to seek a way forward that honours the result of the referendum. To succeed, he or she will have to find consensus in Parliament where I have not. Such a consensus can only be reached if those on all sides of the debate are willing to compromise.
And then this from the leader criticised for always hiding emotion.
I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
After being appointed as Prime Minister in July, Johnson insisted that Britain will leave the EU on the 31st of October. Quote-unquote, do or die. Initially hoping to force the UK to leave the EU regardless of having a deal, Johnson prorogued Parliament in September for an unusually long five-week period. It was later overturned by the Supreme Court as unconstitutional. Commons responded by approving a motion moved by Labour's Hilary Benn ruling out a no-deal Brexit. 21 Conservative MPs are thrown out of the party by Johnson for supporting it. In October, Johnson agreed a revised withdrawal agreement with Brussels, of which Northern Ireland will only be aligned to the EU single market, but it will remain in the UK's customs union, meaning that tariffs will not be applied on goods entering Northern Ireland from the UK, as long as they are not being transported across the border to the Republic of Ireland. Commons later called for a general election in December, which the Conservative Party won its largest majority since the 1980s by campaigning to, quote, get Brexit done, seeing off other parties such as Labour, who are proposing for a second referendum, and the Liberal Democrats, who wanted to revoke Brexit altogether. And at the start of this month, MPs have given their final backing to the bill that will implement the Brexit deal after the Commons voted 330 to 231 in favour of the withdrawal agreement. Since then, it has been given broad assent and passed into law, meaning that the UK will definitely leave the European Union on the 31st of January.
The French, for instance, love the cock.
You're tuned into The Wire.
At 11pm on the 31st of January 2020, the UK will officially leave the European Union and cease to be a member state. Under the terms of the withdrawal agreement, the UK will then enter a transitional period during which time the UK will still abide by EU rules despite no longer being a member. So what does that mean? It means it will allow businesses and the government to prepare and adjust to new post-Brexit arrangements and was designed to prevent a sudden change to trade rules, laws, immigration and regulations which could have caused significant damage to both the UK and the EU. This included EU citizens arriving in the UK and UK citizens arriving in the EU and enjoy the same freedom of movement. The UK will still be part of existing EU trade deals but will be able to negotiate further trade deals. The UK will remain in the customs union and single market, so it will be subject to EU regulations. Security cooperation will continue between the UK and Brussels, and London will still be subject to EU law and the rulings of the European Court of Justice. And that means there will be officially no... Uh, this after the 31st of January, it will also mean there will be officially no UK representation in the EU. That means no members of the, no English members of the European Parliament in the European Parliament where EU law is approved, and there will be also no UK commissioners in the European Commission, and UK ministers will no longer attend meetings of the European Council where European policy is forged. And this transition period is currently scheduled to end on the 31st of December this year, but that can be extended to 2 years. But after that, at the end of the transition period, this relationship will be shaped by whatever has been agreed for the next 11 months, because the transition could also be used by the UK and the EU to agree on what the future trade agreement and relationship between the two sides look like. Boris Johnson has indicated he would prefer a relatively loose free trade agreement that would see the UK leave the single market and customs union altogether. But if a deal is not reached on the time that the UK would the UK would resort back to international conventions for security and trade on World Trade Organization terms, which is very similar to the terms of so-called quote-unquote no deal Brexit. But the Irish question, Northern Ireland, however, will be an exception to this World Trade Organization terms, as its goods trading relationship with the EU will be covered by the provisions in the Northern Ireland Protocol that has been outlined in the withdrawal agreement. In terms of law, the UK would still be able to diverge from EU rules at the end of the transition period and would no longer be obliged to follow EU law. And under the withdrawal agreement, citizens' rights would continue to be protected even if there isn't a deal. Ko te waiatene marunga irirangi poho. Ki te whakarongo koe ki te waia marunga irirangi poho. That was International Desk covering what has been happening for the past 3 years after the European referendum. We will be back after a quick break. This is Slow Tie. This is Nothing Great About Britain by Slow Tie.
I said there's nothing great about the place we live in. Nothing great about Britain. Sip a cup of tea and I'll suspect it.
Ain't nothing great about Britain.
Bottle of Bucky in Buckingham Palace. There's coppers from Scotland all the way down to Dagenham. Waving a black cab, munching the fab. Had to skip the flats, I ain't chasing the dragon. You look like death warmed up, she in a spice, just a coma. I ain't dizzy, I'm just a boy in the corner. Call me King Whitey, puking up off a corner. All I tasted is coma, as well restraining order. I put manners on a punk, cause I haven't had my skunk. Miss Teddy, I ain't 10, I'll squeeze your neck until you pop. I was waiting on my friends outside the local shops. See the feathers turning red, white beauty, older swan. Walking across the Thames, firing slingshots, cause it's Nino, Nino. Then waiting cause Paul. I'm a product, yeah, they made me. I wear chains like my granddad did in slavery. Your bias black as Ainsley, that's bounty. Appropriate the culture before they take heat. Change, remold, shape and break, please. Cause these industries are trying to constrain we.
Pick it up, you put it down, bend it. It breaks and you can't fix it, you're not green.
I'm a geezer, bunch drop the builder, ain't none better. So cool gangster, I'll put trees in your cellar. I am now for popping bottles. What's up, fella? You play the decoy, I'll take food from the cellar. Top lad, oi, 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 oi. Oi, girl, what's your ploy? That man's your boy, I'll slap, man, way too coy. Three lines, grill McCoy. Your EDL, real English boy. St. George's flag, Doc Martin, boy. Call a slag, but don't mean it, boy. Don't ask, don't get, how you get. Nice things, life, moves fast. Roundabouts, in swings, swings and roundabouts. You're round my kid. Grass ain't always greener where the other side lives. Nothing great about Britain. TMB.
biscuits, mash gel in Eos and a couple of little trinkets. East End, you Phil Mitchell, get stabbed with the fillet. And on my heart, I swear I'm proud to be British.
I wouldn't lie. You're an English rose. I wouldn't lie to you. I tell you how it is. I will treat you with the utmost respect. Only if you respect me a little bit, Elizabeth. You can't.
Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wives. Wife. No one. They shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
Welcome back to The Wire. And let's go back to Auckland for a while. Do we, Louis?
Yes, back to Auckland, and now for a short report on the Fuller's Ferries state of affairs. Fuller's Ferries ran into problems about a week back after a number of cancellations and delays for its fleet, causing a public outcry. It seems the blame falls on cruise ships berthing in the Auckland harbour, causing havoc for other sailboats in the harbour. Our breakfast host Rachel spoke with Mayor Phil Gough this morning about what is going on, as well as his response to the issue.
Well, let's talk a little bit about ferries now. You've been quite critical of Fuller's recently, calling some of their traffic around the cruise ship area unacceptable, especially how it regards cancellations of regular services for Auckland ferries. What are you frustrated by this?
Well, first of all, it came as a bit of a surprise because cruise liners have been coming in for a very long time, and this was the first time that Fuller's had signalled publicly, or to me, and I only heard it through the media, that they were cancelling ferry crossings because of cruise liners berthing. Now, cruise liners have to berth before 7:30 in the morning, and generally they are in at the berth by around 7 o'clock. Fuller's had made a statement, and, you know, look, I think safety is a paramount issue, so always take seriously any claim that there are safety concerns. The harbour master, on the other hand, had gone out and observed it for himself from a small boat perspective and said no, he didn't think that there were safety factors involved, and Auckland Transport took the view that the harbour master had taken. And so there we were, you know, council and members of the public alike, I think, hearing so-called experts saying opposite things. And I found that pretty frustrating. So I said, well, you know, this has got to stop. I called a meeting where we had the Harbour Master there, we had Fuller's there, we had Auckland Transport there, we had Ports of Auckland there, elected representatives from Waiheke and from the local ward and the local Member of Parliament, and said, I want you guys to stop firing shots at each other through the media. I want you to come together and I want you to say three things. First of all, what are the appropriate safety parameters for the ferries when the cruise liners are berthing, because you're saying different things? Are you making a recommendation that the restrictions on cruise liner berthing should be extended, you know, maybe back to 7 o'clock or 6:30? And you guys need to sit and communicate to each other rather than firing long-range shots at each other. And so I said, I want the Harbour Master to convene a working group, and I want you guys to come back, having reached a decision, and to report back on the decisions that you collectively, the views that you have collectively arrived at to elected representatives as soon as possible. Now, you know, all of that seems to me as a matter of common sense, and I don't know why we didn't begin there rather than me having to call the groups together to get them there.
It seems to be we quite often come back to talking about, I guess, Fuller's engagement with the public here, because there are quite rightly a lot of frustrated people who rely on ferry services to get to their jobs or wherever they need to be. Do you think we need to be having a broader conversation about that kind of transport and how much is available and its frequency?
Yeah, well, due to changes I think Stephen Joyce made back some years ago, they are regarded as an exempt service and they don't come under the jurisdiction of Auckland Transport. And the current government is looking at that at present and may make some changes to that in the course of this year. But really, I'm simply saying, you know, even though it's a private service, it is a public form of transport, and we need to coordinate what relevant authorities are deciding to do in, to ensure mm-hmm. that we get safe travel and we don't deal with the sort of cancellations and the frustrations that commuters have been facing. And I just, the risk of repeating myself, I felt really frustrated. The first I found out about it was reading it in the paper, right. and that the parties hadn't got together but were each making separate public comments about it. Well, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to say that doesn't make sense. Why don't you guys get your heads together and tell us, using the expertise that you collectively possess, mm-hmm. what the situation actually is and how we might need to change it. And that's what I've asked them to do, and that's what I'm expecting them to come back to me on.
This is a sad, sad day. BFM, the font of liberalism and tolerance at the centre of the University of Auckland.
The Wire.
That was Phil Goff, Mayor of Auckland, talking to our breakfast host Rachel this morning today. Recently, Fuller's put out another statement in a media release this morning, with Fuller's CEO Mike Horn saying the company will not compromise on the health and safety of its customers and its people in response to criticism for the decision to cancel services when cruise ships are thrusting into the harbour. Fuller's, along with other parties at the meeting last Wednesday, proposed an immediate solution of restricting ships' movements in the Ferry Basin to Princess Wharf to 6 a.m. to ensure there is no conflict between Auckland ferry users and cruise ships. Mike Horn also says it is fundamental for the safety of our customers and staff that we have a standard operating procedure that restricts ferry movements in and out of the basin while cruise ships are thrusting and while water is still turbulent. Ferry movements during this time can result in extreme and unpredictable movement of the vessel, which puts commuters and our staff at risk. He says that Fuller's is supportive of the initiative requested by the Mayor for a working group to be formed to find a solution to cruise ship movements impacting ferry services. Fuller's has also commissioned Sydney-based Thompson Clark Shipping to do an independent review of the operating environment and to assess Fuller's decision not to operate while cruise ships are in the harbour. We are yet to have a chat with Fuller's as we were in contact this morning, however, no such luck as of yet, but this is a developing story, so BFM will be sure to update you later in the week.
Thanks, Louis, and also thanks to Rachel for talking to Mayor Phil Goff this morning. We will be back right after a break. This is Goldie by Corridor.
I'm not afraid to die. It's Māori words, because he waka eke noa.
Tikaka, sunburn.
Great job out there.
Thanks.
You deserve
a big old watch
pat on the back.
Ow! My tikaka. I'm tortured by my own past failures.
Tikaka, sunburn.
Māori words, karawhiua, give it a go.
Arcade Radio, Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Classic bands, scalding hot takes, advice on how to cuff your pants. It could only be Auckland's leading skate brand affiliated radio show.
When I'm in a New York state of mind.
Arcade Radio.
Show me that you're mine, girl. Alright.
For all that and a heavy dose of fine tracks, tune in to Arcade Radio. Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. with Mike, Jono, Eddie, Nat, and special guests every week. Arcade Radio. Only on 95BFM.
Irirangi Poho, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. And finally for today, our international desk is going to give you all an update on the coronavirus overseas. But let's go focus on New Zealand for a quick while. There are currently unconfirmed reports of cases of the coronavirus in Queenstown, while there are three suspected cases in Rotorua. And the current situation in China, there are reports of 2,854 cases of confirmed coronavirus cases, while 82 of them are dead. And now Taiwan has banned mainland tourists from landing there, while Macau authorities have searched dozens of hostels across the city yesterday for visitors from the virus-hit Hubei province and deporting about 150 people. And in Hong Kong, they have banned Hubei residents from entering, while schools has been suspended until the 17th of February, while themed parks, museums are already closed, and a group of disease specialists are now urging the government to take quote-unquote draconian measures against the spread of the coronavirus, citing research estimating that 44,000 patients could have already been affected, far higher than the official figures. The Hong Kong University's Faculty of Medicine Dean Gabriel Leung says research shows self-sustaining human-to-human transmission is already happening in all major mainland cities, and the number of people catching the virus is believed to have been doubling every 8 days. He also urged cities to immediately take what he called, a quote, substantial and draconian measures to limit population mobility. He also believed that the outbreak of cases will not be stopping at any moment, and it will only get higher until May or April-May period, and it will only start dying down at around July, August.
That was The Wire.
Koira te hotaka katoa mō tēnei wiki. And that's all for The Wire today, Tuesday the 28th of January. Thanks to my producer Louis Laws, and also thanks to Terry Block, who talked to us today. And also thanks to Rachel Ashby, our breakfast host, for talking to Mayor Phil Goff this morning. And as always, our news director, Lillian Hanley. Jin is here with you for the next 3 hours. Ka hoki mai mātou a te rawiki. We will be back next week. And today, coincidentally, is the fourth day of the new Lunar New Year. So, on behalf of the whole news team, we wish you a very happy Lunar New Year. 祝大家身体健康，生活愉快，事事顺利。 And thanks for your company. And I hope you will have a good week. See you next time. Ciao.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.